Opportunity to be here with you this morning. I'm thankful for each and every one of you who are here, and appreciate the good singing this morning, and hope you'll continue to pray for Brother Mickey and me as we endeavor to speak the Word of God to you this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 11. I'd like to read a couple of verses to you in Psalm 11. Starting in verse 1, it says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." In verse 3, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" I'd like to focus in on verse 3 this morning. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, what does that mean, if the foundations be destroyed? You know, in our society, we have certain things that I believe are foundations. We have a foundation of a rule of law, right and wrong, justice. We have a foundation of freedoms here in this society. We have a foundation of truth and righteousness. When David wrote this psalm, he was actually on the run in Israel. King Saul was trying to kill him, not because he had done anything wrong, but simply because he was jealous of him. And in trying to kill David, there came a time when Saul went to a place called Nob and killed all the priests there. Now here, David is observing this and thinking, the things that I've stood upon, the things that Israel is founded upon, they're destroyed. What can I do? What can the righteous do if the things that we're used to counting on are no longer there? The stability, the firmness. If that's all gone, and we live in a society now where all that, where there is no longer a truth, there's just my truth and your truth. We no longer have a foundation of justice and judgment. It's all based on some other factor. Then the foundations are being destroyed. What can the righteous do? Well, let's back up to verse 1. This is where I want you to start. In the Lord put I my trust. First thing you can do is put your trust in the Lord. Don't put your trust in one person or one group or another. Your trust belongs in the Lord. And he says, in the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? What does that mean? You know, one of the main things that's troubled me this year is not the coronavirus and it's not different things. It's the fact that I see God's people fleeing to their mountain. Whether should we wear masks or should we not? Should we support this candidate or should we support that one? You know, I had someone recently ask me for advice to give to people who say they're just not going to vote for anybody in the presidential election. They said, what would you say as a citizen and what would you say as a pastor? I said, well, as a citizen, I'd say that's a big mistake. A lot of people have died so you had the right to vote. And you should exercise that right. There's a lot of people who have proudly stood up for this country. I love this country. This country's a blessing. It's been a blessing to me. And I have in the past stood up to defend this country, and I'll do it again if I need to. But this country is a blessing to me, and we should exercise the right that we have to vote. But as a pastor, I would say, put your trust in the Lord. Don't put your trust in this man or that man. Your trust belongs in the Lord. We have something far better in the Lord's kingdom and in serving the Lord. And you know, the Lord is able to do far more than we can think or even ask. He can do far more. Put your trust in the Lord. Don't flee as a bird to this mountain or that mountain. Verse 2. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. You know, when you're about to shoot an arrow, your bow bends. The wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Now let's consider that description for a moment. The wicked bend their bow. They get ready their arrow so they can shoot at the righteous people. We see in that, in the society in which we live, we see in some arrows shot. You know, the Bible tells us about our true enemy. It's not flesh and blood. Our true enemy is the devil. And the devil shoots fiery darts at us, doesn't he? Fiery darts. In fact, turn with me to Genesis chapter 49. And notice what Jacob says on his deathbed as he's talking to all 12 of his sons when he gets to Joseph. I believe the devil shoots darts at us. Darts of fear. Darts of discouragement. Darts of anger. He shoots darts at us. And notice what Jacob tells Joseph in verse 23. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. Now consider the life of Joseph. Here he is, a boy of 17 years in his home, and his brothers hated him. And so they started shooting darts at him that are not fair. He had, just like David, he'd done nothing wrong. And they shot these darts at him. And then he lands in Egypt. And then he lands, you know, here he is, unjustly treated, a dart of injustice. And here he becomes a slave. He's in bonds and he's taken down to Egypt. Potiphar buys him. And then Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. And before she falsely accused him, she tempts him. So he's got the dart of temptation shot at him. He gets the dart of false accusation shot at him, and then he's thrown into prison. And so here he has the dart of injustice and loneliness. I just think about how the archers have sorely shot at him. And don't you know they're going to shoot at you too? But notice verse 24. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now notice, he stayed strong. How? I marvel at Joseph and his life and how he went all those years and stayed strong. How did he do that? And how can we do that? Because in Ephesians 6, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Notice, the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. And it tells us to put on all these things, your loins girt about it truth, the breastplate of righteousness, all these things. And then it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You have a shield of faith that you need to take with you that will take care of all those fiery darts that the wicked tries to shoot at you. In fact, turn me to Hebrews 11. Because if the righteous, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, there's something very important that the righteous can do and should do. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're given a long list of people in the Bible who walk by faith. Hebrews 12 calls them witnesses to the faith, as if they're on the witness stand testifying to us that faith works. It worked in their life, and it'll work in your life. And in Hebrews 11, it tells us in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now notice, it says, these all died in faith, but they made this confession. They confessed something that was a reality that you and I all need to acknowledge. And if we don't acknowledge this reality, we are going to be in trouble when the foundations are destroyed. This is the reality. The reality is this world is not our home. We are pilgrims and strangers on the earth. A pilgrim is someone who's on a journey. A stranger is someone who's away from home. And that is the way we are here in this life. Don't think of this world and this and your life here in this world as this is all it is. Bible says your life is just a vapor. They're here a little while and gone. All flesh is as grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Here we are just pilgrims and strangers on the earth. We're just here for a little while. This isn't our home. This is not where we'll stay. There's something far greater that you can see through faith. These all died in faith. Verse 10. Let's back up. Talking about Abraham. Abraham, it says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, I want to point you this morning to some foundations that will never be destroyed, never go away. No matter what happens in the society, in the community, in the world in which we live, here is a city that has foundations whose builder and maker is God, and it will never be destroyed. Turn me to Psalm 125. Notice what it says here in Psalm 125. I'm going to read the first two verses. It says, they that trust in the Lord. Hopefully we remember a couple of weeks ago from Isaiah 33, we talked about Zion. Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord. Remember that phrase? It keeps coming back. They that trust in the Lord. If you trust in the Lord, this is what you're like. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. You want to talk about some foundations that can never be destroyed? It's foundations that God puts into place. You know, the Bible tells us that the church is built upon a rock, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. Isaiah 28 and 1 Corinthians 3 tell us a little bit more about that foundation. It says, no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, and that foundation is Christ. You want to tell me that that foundation can be removed? It cannot. It can never be removed forever. And if you trust in the Lord, you'll be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. I'm going to grab verse 2 because we're here. It says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever. Is it worth trusting in the Lord? Well, He's like a mountain all the way around you. You talk about protection? I'll tell you, the Lord provides protection you won't find anywhere else. Not in our, I appreciate our military, but they can't protect you the way the Lord can. Lord can protect you like mountains all the way around you. In fact, Zechariah chapter 2 says, as a wall of fire round about you, that's what the Lord is to you. He is protection. Should we trust in Him? Yes, we should. Isaiah 26. I want you to notice how important trusting in the Lord is. You know, you put your faith in what you trust. You put your faith in the Lord if you trust Him. Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Now, how do we have a strong city? Because its builder and maker is God. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Verse 2. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Now, notice it says, open the gates. Who's coming in? The righteous nation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, I'll tell you where they can go. They can go into the gates of the city of God. If you haven't joined the Lord's church, my question is to you, why? Here's a protection found here that you don't find anywhere else. Say, well, I don't have to be a member to enjoy the blessings of the church. There are some blessings in the church you will not experience unless you come in. Open the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You want perfect peace? No matter what's going on in the world around you, you want perfect peace? I'll tell you where it's found. It's always your mind is always stayed on God, if your mind is always on God, all this other stuff is just noise that you don't even hear. Yeah, I remember when I was playing sports, there were some things said from the stands that I never heard. I'll tell you why I never heard it, because I wasn't listening for it. When I was up at the plate batting, I don't know what it was all said. I was focused on one thing and where that ball was coming and getting that bat on the ball. I didn't hear anything else. That's all I was focused on. And I'll tell you, when you have a child of God whose mind is stayed on the Lord and trusting in the Lord, like Peter walking on that water, I'll tell you, all this noise of the winds and the waves and the wicked and Satan and all his forces against you, you don't even notice it. It's like it's not even there. There's perfect peace for the one whose mind is stayed on the Lord because he trusts in him. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord, Jehovah is everlasting strength. I'll tell you what the righteous can do if the foundations be destroyed is trust in the Lord. In the Lord is everlasting strength. You know, the Lord has given us some wonderful things here in the church. And in Hebrews chapter 6, he's given us foundations. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Jesus is the foundation upon which all the other foundations are built upon. We find in Ephesians 2, it tells us that the apostles, the church, and where we are today, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. You know, the apostles built their foundation upon Jesus Christ. And then they brought in the practice of the church that the Lord had already taught them. He gave them the communion service. He gave them baptism. And they were to go and preach. It was all by Jesus' direction. But then the apostles recognized the need for deacons. And they recognized the need for other things. And there was a practice in the church that came about. And the book of Acts teaches us that. And Ephesians 2 says, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles, which is built upon Christ. But we have some other foundations here. Hebrews 6 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now, notice in that list, he's given us a list of doctrinal foundations that we have in the church. We have doctrinal foundations. Doctrine is something that you teach. It's something that you build upon. And all the things that we have in the church are built upon these doctrines of what we believe. What do we believe? Well, we have articles of faith posted out there in the foyer. That's what we believe. And that belief is based on what the Bible teaches. And these foundations that we have, it's all based upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes to these foundations, they will never be destroyed. Why? Because their builder and maker is God. No matter what happens in this world, the Lord's blessed us with a wonderful resting place here in the church to come and rest for a little while. I think about that text that people were coming and going, and Jesus told his disciples, let's go out into the desert place and rest a little while. I trust that when you come to the house of God, that's what you find. You find a city whose builder and maker is God, and you can rest for a little while. Foundation is destroyed. What can the righteous do? Come on to the house of God, and let's rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your good attention this morning.